Welcome into the Fresh Take Podcast, brought to you by Craig's Power Equipment here in Colorado Springs.
No matter what kind of maintenance your property needs, Craig's Power Equipment is your best source for the gear to get it done. Chainsaws? Got them. Lawnmowers? Check. Tractors? You bet. Snowplows? Heck yeah. Craig's Power Equipment has all the top brands too, like Toro, Echo, Honda, Red Max, and more. Get the job done right with Craig's Power Equipment. Our top-notch service and sales staff will make sure you get the equipment you need and keep it running at peak performance. Craig's Power Equipment, 301 South Wasatch.
We're being joined by a very special guest. You may have seen this guy on television over the past 2 weeks or so in Omaha, Nebraska, following the LSU Tigers. In particular, his former pupil, Paul Skeens, who's was the MVP of the College World Series. And as many of you know, Paul played here in Colorado Springs at the Air Force Academy. I want to bring in his pitching coach and the pitching coach for the Air Force Falcons, Ryan Forrest. Coach Forrest, how are you today?
I cannot complain. I'm just enjoying a beautiful Colorado Springs summer day.
Yeah, well, you were enjoying some beautiful days in Omaha, Nebraska. Tell us about your trip and tell us what it was like being immersed in purple and gold and Tiger Nation.
Well, first and foremost, I'll tell you, it was well worth the trip. And the way in which it actually came about was my wife has been talking all year, ever since Paul committed to LSU, saying that they make it to Omaha that she would like to go. And for me, I was always kind of like, no, you know, being selfish, I prefer my first time as a coach being in Omaha is when hopefully we're playing there with the Air Force Falcons.
Right.
but as the season continued to progress and when they actually made it, and after his first start, it really dawned on me that this is honestly probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for myself. And to get a chance to see Paul there, obviously, it was a really special, really, really special occasion. But the way in which it actually came about is the day before, that Wednesday, my wife was like, well, let's do it. And I'm like, okay. Meanwhile, I was out of town recruiting, and we booked a ticket Wednesday afternoon, basically right before the game had started, and it was with Southwest, so if they were to end up losing that game, we would have been able to cancel that flight quite easily. But long story short, they end up winning that game. I end up leaving at 4 a.m. from Phoenix to fly out, meet my wife in Omaha, and, you know, obviously got a chance to like you said, immerse ourselves in the LSU faithful there and get a chance to watch that game. And, I mean, just the unbelievable game that it was. But the thing that really made the trip, though, you know, obviously great game, great atmosphere, but was, to be honest, after the game, seeing Paul and just how genuinely happy, how genuinely excited he was to see us and what it meant for him that my wife and I were there.
All right, let's go back now to Paul's time at Air Force and your time with Paul at the Academy. First of all, how did you get Paul at the Academy, and was he highly recruited coming out of high school?
So he was very highly recruited coming out of high school. He actually came to a camp his freshman year here, and at the time, he was pretty much just a catcher hitter only, and he was about 6 foot, 140 pounds. And at the time it was our recruiting coordinator, CJ Gilman, really liked him behind the dish. He's like, man, this kid can really catch. He can really swing the bat. He's got a rocket launcher for an arm. It's going to continue to get better. So basically out of that camp, we had offered him, per NCAA rules, we weren't allowed to call him, but he was able to keep in contact with us and keep us posted on how things were going. As his career progressed, though, he continued to get bigger, continued to get stronger, obviously just developing like crazy behind the dish, obviously developing with the bat. And then all of a sudden we hear about like this Paul Skeens, the pitcher. And so our head coach, Coach Kaz, actually went out and saw him throw the summer of his junior year. And he's like, yeah, the kid's good. I mean, 86 to 88. And, you know, there's a big body on the mound. He's like, I think he can help us out, but it wasn't like, oh, this kid's going to be a, 1-1 here in a couple weeks. But going into his senior year, he commits to us. I'm in Jupiter at one of the big nationwide tournaments down there, watching a California team. There was a California area scout that was there that actually came up to me and asked me, he's like, hey, have you been following the Skeens kid pitching? I was like, yeah, a little bit. Our head coach had obviously seen him throw. He's like, hey, he's really good. He's like 92, 93 right now. We're going to turn him in for the draft as a pitcher this upcoming year. So we continue to follow him. That spring of 2020, I was scheduled to actually go out and watch him pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that's when the world shut down because of COVID.
Right.
So I always say that, because of COVID, the draft went to 5 rounds, wasn't nearly as big. So I always say that if COVID never actually happened, we probably don't see Paul Skeens in an Air Force Academy baseball uniform.
Wow.
Because I think he would have definitely gotten drafted, and he would probably be making an impact in Major League Baseball somehow, some way right now. So that was his recruiting process here. He found us, and at the end it came between us and Navy, because he had a passion for serving.
Mm-hmm.
Every Pac-12 school was in on him, but he told them that he wanted to serve his country, wanted to do something bigger than himself, and he wanted to lead, serve, and fight.
Yeah, as he always mentions when he's speaking with the media, he always talks about the brotherhood and being part of a brotherhood, and you can tell that's just in his blood.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And that was the one thing that was really difficult for him leaving here is, he didn't want to leave his brothers. He went through things with the guys that are currently on our team that you just won't find anywhere else.
Yeah.
So it's a special bond. It's a special brotherhood that he still has with our guys, even though per se he's not wearing an Air Force uniform anymore.
So once you get him on the academy, how long does it take for you and the rest of the staff to realize this young man is something special? And then the second part to this question is, where to play him? How did you guys decide how, where, and when to play him?
Yeah, so the first time I told Coach Kaz that there was something special, it was actually day one of our individual work. So basically right when school started his freshman year, I was watching him actually do some catching work, and I'm like, man, this kid can really catch. And then during that time, we take about 5-6 weeks to really ramp up arms, just because coming out of basic training, they're not doing any throwing and they're doing a lot of push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, running all over the place, doing a lot of things that aren't necessarily conducive for throwing. But about 4 weeks in to individual work is when he threw his first bullpen, and he was like 90-91. And typically you hear about all these 90 mile an hour arms that are coming out of high school. They come out of basic training and they're throwing 84. And they're kind of like, what the heck? Where that was the first time I was like, man, this is really different. So that was where we had to sit down and actually have a serious discussion about how to use him and how to maximize him to the best of his abilities. So his freshman year, he actually came out of the bullpen for us. He would catch one game on a weekend. He would DH. And then he was always available to come out of the pen. I can't tell you how many times his freshman year he would catch 8 innings and then come in and close. Or his freshman year at San Diego State, he rolls his ankle going around third base after hitting a double in the fourth inning. He proceeds to catch another 2 innings after that, and then he gets a 3-inning save. He got 2 saves one weekend against Perennial Power Dallas Baptist University at their place after catching 2 games. Just some of the stuff he was able to do was unbelievable. Moving on to his sophomore year, though, we knew we had something really, really special. Obviously, Paul made a name for himself in his freshman year on a national stage, and people started taking note of him and what we were doing here at the Air Force Academy, but understood that we honestly had a Friday night guy that can beat any Friday night guy in the nation.
Right.
So it was best trying to figure out how to use him in that starting role. And then also, figure out how to use him best out of the lineup and certainly behind the dish. So the way in which we came about that was he would start on Fridays. He actually wouldn't hit on Fridays just because he thought it was a little bit too much wear and tear on his body. So he would just primarily pitch on Fridays. He would DH for us on Saturdays, and then he would actually catch on Sundays. And then he would catch some midweek games as well. So, you know, he was really a jack of all trades. And I always tell people that he was superhuman, and some of the things that he was able to do and the workload that he was able to do for us.
How much were you able to watch him here when he was playing for LSU this past season?
As much as I could. It wasn't every start, just because we would be playing typically at the same time. But if they had that Thursday night game, I would definitely tune in. If we were at home playing an afternoon game on a Friday and they had the night game, I would watch. I would always follow, you know, whether it's, you know, on Twitter, going back and looking at the highlights, or, you know, just even like texting and talking to him, just kind of seeing how his outings were. But there was always a good following from our end, you know, when we could, from our staff.
Did you think he would dominate in the best conference in all of college baseball, the SEC?
It's funny because a lot of people have actually asked me that question. And yes, I did. Being with him for 2 years and seeing the way in which he was able to go about his business on a daily basis, you know, it goes way further than just showing up to practice and doing the right things at practice. I mean, there was a rhyme and a reason for everything he did, from his development standpoint, mm-hmm. from a strength and conditioning standpoint, from nutrition, hydration, recovery, sleep. I mean, you name it. This kid had literally all his ducks in a line. And then on top of that, you know, he was blessed with a rocket launcher arm. He's a big, strong-bodied kid. And then with that, too, the numbers that he was able to put up in the Mountain West Conference, pitching at 7,200 feet in an extremely offensive conference, mm-hmm. it's not surprising to me that what he's done in the SEC this year.
All right. Now, before I let you go, what was your lasting impressions of the Tiger fans who were 15,000 to 20,000 strong in Omaha for 12 straight days?
It was something special. And I had been to Omaha when I was a really young kid, when LSU was actually in it. I think I was probably 11 or 12. So I got a chance to see it there. But now being an adult and having a little bit more of an understanding
and being able to see adult things.
I did see some adult things there. But it was pretty sweet to see how passionate the fan base is, you know, about the Tigers, and just how the understanding of the game and what's going on, and then also too, it was so cool because they had such an appreciation for myself, our staff, mm-hmm. for Paul, for the Air Force Academy as a whole. I mean, I can't tell you how many complimentary things and how many nice things people said just about us.
Yeah.
So that was really eye-opening for me as well. But it was a really, really cool experience, and I'm glad I got to do it. And you know, I'm glad Paul was happy that we were there. And we're actually going to be going out to he's going to have like a little draft get together here next week in Southern California, in which he invited our staff out to as well. So we're going to be there to support him during this time, because obviously it's a big deal to him that we're there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Talking about your current team now, the Falcons, you were one game away from making it to your second straight regional. You got a young ball club, but next year you got most of you guys coming back, including on your staff, a young man by the name of Sawyer Hawks. He'll be an up-and-coming junior right-handed pitcher from Lakeland, Florida. Talk about that, Coach.
Yeah, no, I think we're going to have a good team next year. You know, we have some guys that are definitely going to come back with some experience, especially on the mound there. I'm more so excited about our offensive lineup, mm-hmm. as you know, we we're expecting, you know, depending on what happens at the draft here in about a week, seeing what happens with Sam Kulesingham, our All-American first baseman.
Yes.
Our shortstop, Eric Joe, he's a senior, basically three-year starter for us. Jay Thomason, senior, three-year starter for us, led the league in home runs this year. We have Chase Spencer coming back, Jake Greving coming back. So we have some key components on the offensive side that'll be back that will hopefully they're, again, a year older. And, you know, they're going to continue to develop, continue to get better with already a high-powered offense. But on the mound, Sawyer Hawks will actually not be returning. He will be attending Vanderbilt University.
Oh, no.
Play baseball. Yep. So
those darn Commodores.
We're happy for him. But we do have some really good guys coming back. Doyle Gehring, who's been in our rotation for 3 years now, had a little bit of a down year this year, but had two really good years prior to that. Big time arm. He's definitely get some draft interest as a senior for next year. We have a kid named Sungmin Shim that's been in and out of our rotation. That's a big projectable lefty that I'm pretty excited about. And then we have some young guys too. Ben Weber is one that comes to mind that I think has a chance to be really good for us. And then I think we have some really good talented freshmen that are currently are in basic training right now. And
yesterday was I Day.
Make an impact for us.
Yeah, yesterday was I Day on the academy. Well, Coach Forrest.
It was.
Coach Forrest, thank you so much. I really appreciate you for joining us here on the Fresh Take podcast. I want to let everybody know, come February 2024, be out there at the Academy. Support this baseball team as they try to make it 2 out of 3 years, making it to the NCAA Regionals. Thank you so much, Coach.
Of course, and if you guys ever need anything, let me know.